This is the Unspeakable Podcast, and you're listening to the Delta Green role-playing game panel at Gen Con 2014. Enjoy.
Yeah.
I was waiting for the flash bolts to start.
Mr. Glancy, what do you say about the allocations?
No comment.
Bro, let me consult my...
You're screwed. Just say whatever you want to say.
You're a terrible attorney. You're a terrible attorney.
It'll all work out.
Yeah, tell them the truth.
Mr. Ivy, I think you got the floor.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
After having run over here, literally. Yeah.
Did you run?
8 blocks.
Run?
I was trying to make it sense. Here, wipe your face with the Delta Green
T-shirt. I was trying to see if this was one of my shirts I just bought.
It is.
Yeah. So, I'm Shane Ivy.
Hi.
Hi. Hello.
Hi, Shane.
Hi, Shane.
Shane.
Yeah. And I'm not yet an alcoholic. This is... and that's
nice young.
Dennis Detweller.
Hi.
And
you may have died in some of his scenarios.
And Scott. Yes.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah.
Many deaths were...
Then they're working.
Yeah, and John Tynes couldn't be here because he doesn't do this sort of thing.
John?
Yeah.
No, he's on a jet with Satya from Microsoft, like discussing world strategy or
yeah.
something like that.
Yeah,
what's
petting a petting a Persian cat and wearing
he's
a narrow jacket.
He is kind of yeah.
Yeah. So he's like a good mastermind instead of an evil mastermind.
I don't know that he's that good, but he's just kind of lazy.
That's
he
true.
Could be evil if he had some ambition.
So
I would argue that he got all his yayas out in Delta Green and Unknown Armies.
Yeah. Between those two, we're safe.
Between those two, yeah.
He's good.
What more atrocities could a man need in one lifetime?
Good point.
All right.
Who are we missing? Anybody?
I don't think. Are we missing anybody?
Is Ken coming now?
Ken's coming, but he said he's going to be late because
okay.
he's having...
Well, ta-da,
he's doing meetings with somebody else. Yeah.
I didn't see anything.
So eventually Kenneth Hyde might be here who's helping us out as well. So, the show of hands, who's been at, like, the last few of these things where we talked about what we're doing
all
with
right.
the Green Game? So we got some new people. That's good.
Well, thank God. That way only half of you will be annoyed when we tell the exact same story we told last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really sweaty now.
That's why we left the shirt for you, to mop your brow.
So,
like Orson Welles.
Right. thank you, Greg.
Sharing.
Okay,
so
just as background, in case you need it, which you probably don't, but I'll bore the other 95% of you. So Delta Green is a modern day setting of Cthulhu Mythos horror investigation. So it started in the early 90s as kind of let's do Call of Cthulhu, but you play FBI agents, you know, and you're part of this secret FBI group that investigates horrible things. And and then it kind of evolved, and it started in the Unspeakable Oath. It started like that, the magazine that we do, and then it became a source book. And then over the course of, like, I don't know, it was only about 3 or 4 years it took to make the source book. But at the
yeah.
time, we were all so innocent and naive that that seemed like a long time.
Yeah.
Little
did we know.
It really wasn't very long.
Yeah, so...
Well, the only reason it took that long is because we were making Golden Dawn at the exact same time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and plus...
Yeah, that's the only reason.
Well, yeah. I don't know about you. I was a lot younger then, so you know how, like, when you're in high school and, like, a year seems like forever, right? So I was, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I was a lot younger.
Right. A back year makes a lot
alive.
More back when Delta Green was new. So it's...
Slipping through her fingers.
Yeah. So in the course of creating it as a source book instead of just this sort of adventure, it got a lot more... sophisticated, the idea of it. So instead of it being your FBI agents working for this secret FBI group, it became, you know, you're no longer in the secret FBI group, you're FBI agents who were part of this group that used to be a secret FBI group, and they got fired, and now you're just guys.
I would describe it more of a layoff than actually
a layoff.
Layoff.
Yeah.
Downsized.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not that they were fired, just the position no longer exists.
We decided to go in a different direction.
Yeah. It's not you.
We've decided to ignore this problem rather than deal with it, so you don't have a job
anymore. Strong enough to ignore.
So 1997 or 96, whatever, the first book came out. And then, and it won lots and lots of awards and became very popular.
And it helped that.
Did it just won one award? It was Countdown won a lot of awards, I guess. Anyway,
hey,
it was a big deal.
Spidey!
And.
That's longer now, thank you.
All right. Anybody want to turn around and look at the fellow in the back with
judge
the sunglasses
him.
That they
judge him.
Yeah. Okay, so it's kind of gone along since then. We did Delta Green Countdown as a follow-up, which sort of looked at, you know, the international scene and all, you know, and a bunch of international groups that were in the Delta Green world and how much even worse off they were than, you know, Delta Green was.
You really don't want to be the Russians, but you really, really don't want to be the Brits.
Yeah. And so then we did there was sort of a hiatus for a few years, and we... Dennis did a few little chapbook, micro publication things. One of them was little. The other two were big.
You want to write it?
Dennis did some inconsequential work.
He just means they were in the 6x9 format.
Ah, that's it.
Oh, right. I meant that, not the
physically
other
little
thing I said. So,
yeah.
So,
these little books you're doing. That is some condescending shit, Shane. I would like to point out that you wrote some stuff in those little books. Jesus.
So
I know it's going to go like this.
Yeah.
I can't wait till it gets around to me.
This is how Shane quits.
No. Have I gotten to the fuck you?
No, that's later. I'm sorry.
Handle is your resignation.
He's working on his exit. It's going to be a lot like that. It's going to be a lot like that whale at SeaWorld who ate its trainer. That's how he's going to be. Good night! Ate my trainer!
I told you I wanted out and you didn't listen.
Dinner and a show.
So besides the inconsequential little
books. Right, yeah. Well, we made a big book out of those. And then we did another follow-up. Yeah. And that was great.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and then Targets of Opportunity, which was
more stuff.
Yeah,
even more stuff.
Right.
We wrote some stuff. Followed up with more stuff. And even more stuff. Anybody out here own Countdown? Do we have any hands up?
Wow.
Anybody don't have it? Why did you not go to DriveThruRPG and buy the PDF?
Yeah, you can do that now.
You can do that now. You can get print on demand. It'll be in your hands. It'll be dead tree. There, problem solved.
Yeah. And if you're one of the people that paid like $150 for a copy of Countdown before that happened, then
we're sorry.
God bless. Yeah.
But we're not responsible.
You have our admiration.
We're not actually admitting fault, but
you're dedicated.
Legally, we are not responsible.
Right. So. So the source books and everything have all kind of done, you know, approached different, presented different adventures, different aspects of the game world, factions and cults and, you know, and groups to encounter. But they haven't really re-envisioned or rebooted the core of the campaign. Of the campaign setting, you know, the core story or what the rules do. So that's what we're doing in the RPG as a standalone.
Wow.
I'm very happy you're doing that.
Role-playing game.
Kumbaya or whatever the hell.
Come closer.
Well, first of all, come closer.
And we have some empty seats on this side.
If anyone does have a fragmentation grenade and feels the urge to go next door.
Scott, as your lawyer,
I am not suggesting that they do. I'm just saying if they have one. I'm protected, right?
There are things called fragmentation grenades.
Yeah. I have a white phosphorus.
That will work almost.
Don't
as
answer
well.
That question.
As your attorney, you should not answer that question.
What is the definition of incitement?
I think we just witnessed it.
Yeah.
Those fuckers are inciting the hand grenade into their room. That's incitement. God, we work that out.
So Greg wrote some new rules on explosives and
yes, the kill damage.
Yeah.
They've been well received.
We love kill damage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
So what we're talking about
any
is
any playtesters out here who play tested for
yeah,
us?
Yeah, did anybody do the new version that you're about to get is way the hell better. Like it's much improved because. Yeah.
Because you told us smart things.
Right.
We ignored all the dumb things.
Yeah.
Just to be clear. And we kept all the good things. And we made it gooder. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
The second time that will be gooder.
You can tell he was an artist before he
yes.
was a writer.
He's got me.
What we're doing is presenting it as a standalone role-playing game that's based on the basic role-playing engine that Call of Cthulhu's always been based on, and but kind of catered or tailored specifically to the way that we've always run and played Delta Green and the way it's always been presented in the setting material, and so it's kind of optimized to do that kind of Cthulhu-ish.
Optimized for the genre.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what we're doing. So the new game, which is we've been working on for ages and ages and ages, which is why this is like the 10th time we've had a Delta Green RPG panel.
Oh, it's been the third.
Don't
Come
exaggerate.
Third.
Jesus, God.
Anybody been here? Anyone been here for more than three? Anybody? Okay, it's the third.
Yes.
So that's what we're up to. So we're going to follow there's going to be a core game, which might be in, it's still kind of up in the air. I mean, it might be in two books. So we have sort of a player's book that's just that's the core rules and everything the player needs to know to play the game, but doesn't have all the here's how to build your campaign out stuff that's going to be just in the Game Master's book.
And then there's a Game Master's Eyes Only.
Right, yeah.
We'd really like to be able to break
yeah.
it up.
And I mean, we're not dumb. We know that most gamers are going to buy both if they're into it. But
we can't stop you.
Yeah, but if you're in one of those groups that just wants to, I don't know. I mean, as we continue to sort of pull it together, we may wind up just smooshing it into one book.
Because you're going to buy both. Why jack you up?
I'm just thinking of finishing writing the book, right?
That's,
I don't care if it's two books.
If we actually have a thing that's done, then maybe we can just...
That's the entirety of my goal is not imagining one or two books. It's
right.
Let's finish writing the goddamn thing.
And
yeah.
do the illos.
Oh, yeah, and the art. Yeah, hello.
The man in the unspeakable oath shirt.
Yes. That's a cool one.
Yeah.
Even if you do decide to make it one book, can you make the PDFs as two books?
Yeah, sure.
We can do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can do that right now. No, I
14.
Yeah. 14 books.
You will pay $1 for separate pages.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes. We'll publish it by spread.
Yeah. So, you want to start with questions or something?
Yeah, I guess so.
Do you want to blather or do you want to ask questions? What do you want to do?
Yes.
That's my
favorite. Along with the core game, then we're going to be doing sort of setting books and source books that some of which deal with old material, like what happened to Pisces, and some of which doesn't. You know, we're not going to do a fate book because the fate had its own drama and is kind of. We may do a fate campaign where you can play through the drama.
Yes.
But yeah, that'll be fun. So we're going to be doing some stuff like that looks at what happened to some of the things that were going concerns and scared everyone 15 years ago, and also dealing with what's the deal now. I mean, our underlying core ethos with presenting Delta Green as a standalone game, more than anything, is presenting it as a modern-day horror role-playing game, not as a new edition of that 1990s horror role-playing game, right? So that's why we're taking a long time to develop it, and that's why it's kind of getting developed from the ground up.
Well,
so
only in year two, that's nothing.
Yeah.
We got, it's going to be at least Countdown and Delta Green shoved together.
I know, there was more people in the room last year. I don't want to take the chance.
No, that's not true. This is more, yeah.
No, there's more.
So, that's kind of the really sloppy overview of what it looks like of what we're doing. So I guess we can kind of take questions and see what people want to hear about most, as far as whether they want to hear about aspects of the rules or playtesting or setting
red shirts.
Or what.
Yeah,
red shirt always goes first.
Two questions. One's really easy. They're awesome T-shirts. Are you guys going to sell those?
We have a few at the booth. Yeah, there's not many. We're selling them at the booth. If you wanna give it a shot.
Are you guys looking at branching off into publishing adventures? You kind of referenced that a few minutes ago.
Yeah. Sure. Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, Greg wrote a giant campaign for it already that we're going to have to go in and do surgery on to, you know, retrofit it.
It won't take that much surgery.
He claims it won't take that much surgery.
He always claims that. He can't help it.
And then who has to do the surgery?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, and I mean,
little nip, little tuck.
Right, right. I've
little bone saw.
Yeah, I mean, Dennis is already working on an adventure. I did a really kind of micro. Quasi adventure for the playtesting, which needs to be turned into a genuine scenario, because really all it was a whole lot of combat scenes and then a big massive sanity loss at the end because I wanted to playtest.
Clearly, you're playing the game right.
So I hope any of you who got TPK'd in that, thank you.
Oh, good, yeah.
Yeah, so we're definitely going to be doing adventures and long form campaigns and collections and adventures.
The key is all the stuff is about updating. Existing canon, if you want to call it that,
from recreating the setting kind
from
of
the
from
90s
scratch,
to modern.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Because you might have noticed a large war occurring. You know, the war on terror basically co-opting the entire American government for the last I don't know 14 years,
including Ferguson, Missouri.
Yes.
I was in the playtest that you were just referring to, and with the character creation. I actually didn't think to ask the Game Master at the time, but we didn't create like a cell or have cell code names.
Yeah.
Is that in or out? Or was that
yes.
The answer, it is either in or out.
Yes.
The answer, Mr. Hook, is yes. It is in and out. One of the pressures we had from fan base was, what if Delta Green was official? We always heard that. And there, you know, at the same time, our thought is, well, if we make it official, that will fuck the gameplay. Because you'll be able to call in a nuke strike and then get some coffee and go to bed and see your kids, you know, and play baseball with them and, you know, and live happily ever after.
Right.
And
as always happens after nuke strike.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Somebody else handles the press conference.
Was only Baltimore.
Yeah. You saw how they fixed that zombie problem in Louisville, right?
What Black Cloud Island?
Yes.
But, you know, what if something was something more official? And while we've decided that, okay, we can go that route, but we're going to end up with two strains of gameplay, two methods of approaching it. There is going to be a way to play it where you are in something more official than the conspiracy, the illegal conspiracy. But
the program.
The program, the special access program. And then there's going to be the guys who didn't come in from the cold and get jobs with pensions and, you know, insurance and bennies.
The cowboys.
The cowboys. The conspirators are going to stay out in the cold. The conspirators are going to give you the standard gameplay with cell structure and you know, the sort of Alphonse-led conspiracy we all grew
green
up
boxes.
With. Yeah, and green boxes, the whole nine yards. And the other group is going to give a different experience of gameplay.
Yes. Different flavors of paranoia, basically, is what it's going to come down to.
And that,
we kept the stuff we sent out nebulous, rather than, you know, give away too much, and also to see, just to test it out. We didn't do
More important.
In our playtest, we didn't get a cell name.
No.
We didn't have code names. But as we were playing, it was clear that we weren't supposed to talk about Delta Green. So we were a secret, but we didn't have...
Yeah, well, bear in mind, again, that what you played there, that scenario that I sent out...
Yeah.
Was basically to play test the combat rules, so I kind of deliberately steered clear of giving a lot of very useful campaign background.
It seemed like a play test of character creation and the combat rules.
Well,
that's what it was.
To play test the character rules too.
You have perceived very accurately.
Could we call the scenario small?
It was a little scenario.
Just to be clear, very small.
Significant
small
out of the combat.
His adorable little baby scenario.
We had some interesting players that had other agendas, so I was actually kind of waiting for the combat to finally show up. And then when the big reveal occurred. We had a non-com with us, and I lost a lot of sand, so I just put my arm around the non-com, and I said, hey, can you hold something for me? And I put three slugs in this guy. I ran for the hills and took a swan.
They should accomplish.
Sounds good. Anybody else?
More questions.
Do you want me to go? Should I go on about the program a little bit?
Please.
Well, one of the things that... My goal, I set this out as like a people, I want people to go into this thinking, all right, I'm finally going to have guidance and leadership and support and, you know, the equipment and the resources that I need to achieve this vitally important job. And I'm like, I just want those people to cling on to that as hard as they can so that the realization when it dawns is just that much more affecting that, wow, when I was an outlaw with no advice and no help, those were the good old days?
the salad days, one might say,
and
Delta Green.
You are going to have to be responsible. You are going to have to obey orders from, guys in suits behind desks who haven't seen a Shoggoth. And who are like, I don't understand why you can't bring back the sample for me like I requested. This is getting this is gonna look pretty bad on your quarterly review. I mean, I have to be honest.
Did you get those TPK reports back? We're gonna need those TPK reports.
To take it further, you may not even know which group you're in.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
You may be told you're official. You may see paperwork. You may go to a facility.
Yeah,
you may...
these look like they were filled out great.
Yeah, and then you come back 2 weeks later, and the facility has been abandoned.
Fire.
And this was a used car lot. And,
you're not cleared to know what happened.
Yeah. So
the biggest issue there is the most essential thing to me is that all that is in the hands of whoever's running the campaign, right? As a player. Part of the mystery of gameplay is, what is my role in this universe?
Peel that onion.
Yeah. And so that's one of the mysteries that the Game Master is putting in front of the players is, you know, you're involved in this in some kind of a structure of authority, but what kind of authority is it? What kind of a structure is it? And should you be involved in it in the first place?
Mm-hmm. Well, and that when you are a cowboy, you are out on your own, and you have great freedom and license and discretion to decide, okay, My mission statement is deal with this problem, so whatever I decide to do is the mission, because I'm dealing with the problem. Whereas if you are on the inside, you will possibly have a great deal more power, but you will certainly have considerably less freedom. And, you know, the scenario I was spinning out over dinner was that, okay, yeah, you know, mission one is, okay, you have to go capture this person, and, you know, you go into capture, and this person is a terrible, terrible person doing all kinds of bad things, and you're like, can't we just shoot her? No, we need her alive with a gag when you drop her off. Do not permit her to speak to your handler. And then, so you struggle and see her do all these terrible things, but you bring her in alive per your request, and you're like, so what are you guys going to do with her? That's need to know. And then 3 months later, they're like, okay, we need you to escort this person, and it's the one you captured.
This asset.
Take her to, White Owl Mountain, and whatever she needs done, get her done. And she's like, I feel so much better now that they've got me on the antipsychotics, but I'm going to need, about 3 people. For what? Good things. All good things.
Omelet, eggs, get me the supplies.
Right.
Don't get attached.
It's like
once you give the pig a name, it's not really bacon anymore.
my kind of ideal long-form Delta Green campaign is going to be one where you gradually explore that terrain, you know, and you kind of start with whatever assumptions you are told to start with, and then part of, you know, and then the game is about what happens to those assumptions, you know, and what happens to your character for acting on them, and what happens to your character's family for the work that you're doing, and the decisions that you make for good or for ill.
You really kind of discover
that along the way, and but which means that, you know, we're not going to really really prescribe a lot of that in the rule books, you know, in the player's book especially, because, you know, we want to kind of have sort of a baseline of a common terminology to make it easy to wrap your head around, but where it kind of goes from there can be a lot of different directions.
It remains up to the case officer. The case officer can build anything, literally.
That being our cute term for the game master.
We have kind of key opinions we believe should not change.
Mm-hmm.
And those
it's
are the
hover fortress, right?
Yeah.
No hover fortress.
No hover fortresses.
Well, it wouldn't be hard to play this game and have it become, you know, the laundry.
Which is
fairly close. And the laundry's great. I love the laundry, but it's not green, you know?
Yeah.
And so it wouldn't be hard at all to have it veer into that territory, but we want to kind of be careful to make clear that that's not the territory we're exploring, you know? That
someone
we're
else
kind
is
of,
doing
yeah,
that.
We're, we're
we
sort
don't
of,
need to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Magic we're sort of playing off the horrors of bureaucracy, but it's less for a satirical.
It's less the laundry and more Operation Paperclip.
Yeah, than a shock. Oh my God! Did we really torture that many people?
Yeah. At some point, you may find out that, you know, you may be like, "Are we the bad guys?"
Yeah.
No, we're not. We're not the bad guys. Sure, I used to work for Majestic, but now I work for Delta Green. So
we're clearly not the bad guys.
I'm not the bad guy.
Are we the bad guys?
Right.
Yeah.
Now, why don't you just shut up, cash your check, and do your job?
And where are those three virgins we get?
We've completely fixed Wolfram and Hart. It works only for the good of all mankind.
So the core of the idea is control. Is the player has no control. The player is constantly trying to exert control. Mechanically, the player has very little control. Well, I have an MP5. Congratulations. I have a Hellfire missile. It's about the same as an MP5.
It's harder to commit suicide with a Hellfire. You can get that barrel of the MP5.
That's totally true.
Up against a soft pallet and bang, you're out.
So what Shane is also saying is that the idea of understanding everything about Delta Green or where you stand in a conspiracy is a matter of control. Mm-hmm. It is. I understand where I am. I report to this person. They understand the following things.
Yeah.
You will not know that.
Yeah. And and part of that's going to be the game master's responsibility to do the hard work of not letting you know that.
Yeah.
And one of the themes that I, you know, particularly try to harp on in my design for this is that the program in particular is like, okay, we figured out that if you take 2 + 3 and figure out that that's 5, you go crazy. So we are going to take all the people who know 2 and all the people who know 3, and we are going to make sure that they never compare notes. And so if you're in the Cowboys, you're much likelier
to
go
compare
crazy.
Notes.
But you're also much likelier to know what's going on.
And what's at stake.
Yes. And so how badly do you want to know what's going on? How badly do you want to know those 3 or 4?
And knowing means having responsibility.
Speaking of bureaucratic core, are you guys actually going to have, like, handout forms for mission reports that players have to fill out?
I don't know. Well,
wow.
I mean, because even in the even if you're playing, even if you're playing like
forms we're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say no.
Yeah, even if you're playing within the program, you know, You're not going on. You're not being assigned a mission that says there's a Deep One nest, you know, in Alaska. So take another Delta Green team and attack the Deep Ones. You may be sent on some kind of an operation that's cover. But everything that Delta Green, even the sort of the splinters of Delta Green that have some kind of official capacity, are not putting it down on paper, you know, they're not saying it out loud. You're not going to cash a paycheck that says paid by Delta Green on it, right?
Memo.
Yeah. So
We will work very very closely with real world agent kind of the idea of real world agencies as our basis.
Right.
So the CIA likely would not be filing a report on, you know, this is the asset where this is how we found Osama bin Laden. His name is blah blah blah. Here's the, and I sign it and I put it in a file somewhere and it's likely known by three people somewhere with a code word and not written down. And
right. So a fake report that
you need to grab a chair, Ken.
That presents your mission briefing in really vague, veiled.
This is where you finally earn your pay by picking up chairs.
This is my professional contribution. It's going to take a lot longer.
Oh, he's going to clobber a fan.
And that's when just Ken killed the fan.
See, I told you not to make me carry a chair. Now you've got blood on your hands, Clancy.
Out of my way, meat.
I don't think it's the fan who's going to get
what's
it.
This animal?
There it comes.
Pow. Blood on your hands again.
And now
why'd you hit yourself?
Stop hitting yourself. Why do you keep hitting my chair with your face? What's wrong with you? That's your poor design.
So Ken Hite here is also on the team and is helping us to put the game together. Thank you, Ken.
You're welcome. Okay. And done. I'm glad I could. And he's out. Lights drop and go.
It's all downhill from there. This is a warning.
I feel like a little light was turned on.
Questions, other questions, few things you want to know?
Yeah.
Who said we were calling on you, Aaron?
I'm taking the initiative for PBR. So, Greg had actually mentioned some of this, some of the background information, which I'm wondering if you can elaborate on a little bit, because specifically with Pisces and their handlers, which to give background, Ross gave me his copy of...
So you've read that.
Yeah, I finally did, and that was awesome.
Winterding Flats is a lovely place.
But interesting what you may be doing to elaborate their situation if... I know I wouldn't say what they are in case other people...
Me? Nothing. That's outside my compartment.
That's my problem.
Or how they would have modified if...
Here's my answer to what are we going to do with Pisces... in a way that won't blow the spoiler for anyone who doesn't have Countdown. I will say that...
do you have the license?
For the things we're not talking about?
I'm pretty sure we have a license.
The license for Great Britain?
Okay. Yeah. The answer is, as far as the official program Deltarune goes, problem solved. They're fabulous partners.
I love that it becomes
the problem is solved. They're excellent partners in the global war on something.
Could you, this may be another vague answer to the situation with their opposition with the drills, clearly
anarchists, troublemakers. They've been dealt with. I'm sure that problem has been solved.
I can answer that in two words: riff and wrath.
Not our people.
You can say what you want about Pisces, but they get things done and the trains run on time.
Absolutely. I think it was Germany.
And Britain has literally never been sailed.
Next question. Hands up.
Football.
None. Don't do that.
A few questions.
Yeah. Giant pick me up.
First of all, one of the things that I like about there was this scenario in one of the older books in Rover Bill or something.
Yes. It's a lovely place.
Yeah, exactly. Where there were both Majestic and Delta Green teams.
Yes.
Yes.
I really like that concept. Do you have anything about the program and, you know, the
yes, yeah. Both sides think the other are idiots.
But dangerous idiots.
With potential. Because the program is always like, oh,
some do.
Those cowboys are, you know, dangerous and irresponsible and dreamy with their Catholic cigarettes. If only I could change them. And the cowboys are looking at the program and they're like, ah, they're just so uptight and snooty and clean and they smell like daisies. And they have funding.
Yeah.
And they can call in drone strikes.
Drone strikes. Okay. Only you understand.
So they're like the
we have built into the background an idea that both groups poach each other's agents.
Well, and
that there's competition, ideological competition between these two groups.
And it may be bloodier than that.
Yeah.
Right.
Or it may be that if you're really good at playing both sides of the fence...
Yeah, you can be a double agent.
That's an optimal survival strategy where you can get the power of the program and maybe just maybe get some of the freedom of the unofficial
and it won't ever backfire on
no
and that's right and that's
you'll never have to pay that bill.
If you look historically at double agents, they never get caught.
You can have your surefire strategy.
Just ask Kim Philby.
That's right.
Technically, I guess, is he caught? But
he was caught, and then he was caught again, but they gave him, like, you know, the old sportsman's warning. His buddy in the Economist says, you may not want to stay in Beirut tomorrow.
Off the old boxer here.
Yes. What do you think of this cover story, Philby? Kim Philby arrested in Beirut. Do you think it's too on the nose?
All right, so that was the first question. Second question.
When it comes to scenarios, I always found them to be, and this might, you swearing in church, a bit too deadly.
You can stop talking
you take
now.
That back.
Dennis,
you take that back.
Dennis just stopped listening. Dennis just stopped listening to anything that's going to come out of your mouth.
No. We're trying to expand to a young adult children's audience.
It's all YA these days.
I'm
yeah.
Sorry, it's 9-year-old daughter. No, seriously.
Okay, get out.
What I like about it is character growth, rather the inverse of growth, whatever that is.
Degeneration.
Degeneration, exactly. And with too frequent deaths, you don't get back.
Well, then, I mean, the thing is that the team designs the adventures to fit the voice of the sort of default campaign. That's true in every metric. That's true in deadliness, that's true in degree of official involvement, that's true in which monster it is. If it's not something that fits the tone of the campaign that you want to run, change it. Making it less deadly is considerably easier than other sorts of parameters that you might want to change.
And let's be honest, it's easier to make it less deadly than more deadly. You want to start off with the Dennis Tetwaller level of deadly.
It's
and then
pretty
you can,
binary.
You can dial it back down to 11 or 12.
Yeah. Down to like a glancy, glancy and a half.
No, I mean, the scenarios are very deadly. I will say that people have survived them. Multiple times. All the playtests I've ever run of Artifact Zero, there has been at least one survivor. At least one. Well, I'm pretty proud of that. I feel like I'm growing as a member.
Devolving.
Yeah, devolving. Right. Degenerating.
He's softened up so much since he's had kids.
It's true. It's really sad.
I can't kill you all.
Timmy's the strongest. Let him go.
Bring word of this defeat.
No, I agree with Ken. I think the best thing to do is just sit down and find the parameter that you find, you know, the most deadly. In that case, in Artifact Zero, you know, the Tilling Gas radiation being so
deadly,
dramatic in effect,
yeah.
Could be much more subtle in effect. You could lose items for a long time. You could phase back and jump back and forth between this horrible... You could suffer radiation damage and then find yourself back in the dorm room. You could... There's a bunch of different ways to expand the adventure out and then have some sort of solution.
The thing is that... As the adventure's written, I don't see how the cowboy Delta Green could ever survive, because each team who ever went on a mission would never come back.
You're not playing every single mission your team goes on.
I mean,
you're playing
the cool ones
or the climactic ones.
Well, I mean, yeah, and also...
I mean, that's like saying that, you know, you've watched a lot of Special Forces movies and you don't know how the Special Forces ever survive a mission.
It seems to be Mogadishu every single...
I've watched Black Hawk Down like a million times. I don't know how the SEALs ever get it.
Full survival. Yeah, it's all either Black Hawk Down or Lone Survivor. There's no other special operations.
Yeah, it's also about scaling your campaign. I mean, a lot of what I see is, you know, people play the piano. A lot of the games I play in with other people, they're like, ding, 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 just deep one, deep one, deep one. And you're just like, okay, I get it. They're deep ones. They're scary. If it was like one I ran, they investigate this thing in the kind of southern New Jersey. They think it's something alive. You know what this is. Anyway, it turns out to be a deranged orangutan. They spend weeks hunting this thing. It's just an orangutan who got out and is literally living. He's filthy, smells terrible.
Not the Jersey Devil? We were counting on the Jersey Devil. Houses.
The agents spent all this time trying to ambush an orangutan.
I'd forgotten your unique gift for draining the fun out of everything. I had not yet realized it extended to genres of games you actually already created. Hold on, people are actually getting off the beach in Godlike?
Yeah, kill them.
That doesn't sound right.
No, die, die, die. No, they had a lot of fun. And the orangutan, it was a happy ending. The orangutan, they didn't shoot it. One of them realized what it was, but
Dr. Zayas didn't go down and hail a bullet.
I guess my point is, like,
they sent him to Sumatra to live with the Cho-Cho.
A lot of the campaigns I run, they are ongoing, and there are deadly adventures. Like, Owl's Head Mountain ate 3/4 of an operational team because they were, no lie, they were just idiots. They were just kind of like, let's go kill the giant tentacular thing on the mountain that we just...
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were talking about my playtest.
No, you guys did okay.
Wow, that was okay. Yeah. I want to point out that our demolitions expert double critted.
Was that my fault?
Fail. And blew up the hotel we were in.
Was that my fault? And Glancy had to stab the guy in the chest to bury him at sea, basically.
Yeah, we had to go run in, get our buddy who'd blown himself up in his hotel room, trying to make the bomb, gather up all the bits we could, stuff him in garbage bags, flee with this dead body so
he wasn't sinking.
Yeah, and then. Yeah. Work him over with an ice pick.
So I guess my point is...
Good job, Scott. Your team was great.
The Cthulhu mythos in my campaigns, it's extraordinarily rare.
It just keeps getting funny.
When you do run into it, it's usually something pretty minor or something really effing scary. And in the life of a Delta Green cell, that may be twice a year. It could be much longer than that, where you never see anything, where you get called in and... You're dealing with something that turns out not to be supernatural at all, or you're dealing with a sanctioned government operation like Majestic, or a black budget operation that's flying odd aircraft over Central Florida. What does that mean? But I guess the point is all these stories still tell the story of the degeneration of the agent. The agent has to lie. The agent has to move all over the country. The agent usually has to pay for this himself in the cowboy days. So skipping town to fly to Colorado Springs for 2 weeks... when you have a wife and 2 children and you're an FBI agent is extraordinarily difficult. And you know, we'll do awful things to your family, your credibility, your legal status. If you flash a badge in Colorado Springs and someone takes a picture, you're effed. And Delta Green's just going to sell you down the river.
We don't know why we was there.
Or if local law enforcement just calls it in because they're trying to help.
Yeah.
I mean, no one even has to wish you ill for the thing to turn out south.
Right.
South.
We finally got an FBI agent in this podunk town.
Yeah.
But again, we're making progress. But again, those are the fix everything.
Those are the kinds of metrics that you can change as a keeper if you would rather have the sort of, and maybe not go full supernatural where all you need is like a Xerox badge and you can pretend to be FBI despite being involved in double scores of grave robbings and kidnappings.
Like you do.
But in a Delta Green game, you can make assumptions and make dramatic illusions and say, we're not actually trying to explore what would really happen in the world of the national security bureaucracy if there was really MIGO.
Yeah.
We're trying to tell a series of tales of human degeneration against a backdrop of Lovecraftian madness and bureaucratic horror.
Or better yet, set you guys up to tell the stories yourself. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, realism is an ingredient. It's not a mandatory component of anything. In Delta Green, generally, we want realism. We want to feel that backdrop of the actual bureaucratic and the actual quotidian lived experience of it. But you don't make a fetish of it. You don't say, well, I've run the math.
Yeah.
And the average, servitor of the Outer Gods kills 3.2 Delta Green agents, and given that an average team is 4, in this theory, one Azathoth cult should kill everyone in the federal government in a year and a half. Yeah.
Those numbers seem low.
Well, it's a range. There's a margin of error.
We'll finish the math. Yeah. But the issue of kind of campaign pacing, right, and does every adventure need to be this climactic thing that might wipe out every member of your party, or is that sort of a punctuation that might come up from time to time is something that's going to be in the, that's fodder for the case officer's book where we're going to talk about how to,
let me turn
running Delta Green as basically a one shot, a one off where your goal is that moment of utmost catastrophe versus running a longer form game where you can kind of dig into what the characters are all about and what's happening in their home lives, what's happening in their job.
Which brings up go ahead, sir, you first.
Would y'all, as, assuming that you're a representative sample of the audience, would you be interested in seeing, a series of Delta Green adventures that are like, okay, these are going to be less of a meat grinder and more of a, you're just going to learn that there's something terrible happening that you are completely powerless to do anything about. Ones that instead, you don't die, you're just super, they're just tragic.
All these things,
more like, something about it and then go to the meat grinder.
Yeah. This is going to make the meat grinder go down so much easier. Well, at least I don't have to think about
it. We have a broad and varied palate. We have the physical meat grinder adventure and the spiritual meat grinder adventure.
There you go.
Which would you rather play?
We do want to make you sad in the pants.
Either way, the meat's going to be.
Hold on. Speak up. Please.
Just in the same vein of the realism of the setting in that, like, how did you guys find it very challenging, like, given such a modern setting, to maintain the cosmic horror aspect?
No.
Not at all.
It gets easier.
It makes it so much worse.
Lovecraft is right.
Did you not read the headline?
Lovecraft is writing.
There's this thing called the internet, and it's filled with terrible, terrible things you can read about.
It turns out we were the change we were waiting for.
Well, just in the aspect of, like, if you look at, like, previous, like, settings in that, like, Gaslight, 1800, like, further back, the horror of the setting is, like, with the revelation of humanity's true place in the universe in the context of normally, we're important kind of thing, and knowing you're not, and like, the whole scope of it.
Atheism is shocking and surprising.
You have a very high scientific error of the knowledge. Yeah, probably.
The number of atheists that can't even handle mean atheists.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean the main problem there is the assumption that Lovecraft was writing in some other time. If Lovecraft was alive today, it would be Navy SEAL teams raiding a small seaside town. Right.
Lovecraft was writing techno thrillers.
Yeah. In he had triplanes and
he wrote the first ever horror story set on a submarine.
Yeah.
His Antarctic exploration is not steampunk, it's cutting edge.
Yeah.
They lovingly describe drill equipment, for God's sake. It's it's a Tom Clancy story, only with a killer ending.
Yeah, he'd be writing Delta Green.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
That was the main thing.
Well, I think
Have you read any Laird Barron? Have you read any Laird Barron? Laird Barron is a guy who writes modern cosmic horror. It is not Lovecraft. It is not the mythos. But it's absolutely cosmic horror. And guess what? Having a cell phone doesn't fucking help. Having a concept of the universe that there could be life in other worlds and does not help. Not having a medieval mind set that the world is flat and the sun goes around it, just because you've opened up to a heliocentric world does not help. And I just don't think that kind of shock to the system that we previously experienced.
And the belief that because I've read the Drake equation on Wikipedia, I'm better suited to meet a MIGO, that's exactly the kind of blind, self-centered pride that the mythos exists to tear apart. The people who say Lovecraft isn't scary are the first people to deliquest in a real cosmic horror universe.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I think the big thing is one of the central premises of Deltagreen, as illustrated by Majestic, is this stuff literally is beyond human understanding. The end. Full stop. There's no way to pick it apart. There's no way to go any deeper. When you do, you go crazy, or you come up with a way to make things immeasurably worse, and then you go crazy.
Mm-hmm. Or the only way that a human can understand, can grasp these things, is by ceasing to be human.
Yes, yes, to become alien.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I think as long as we keep that as a central premise, we avoid
the laundry.
Any risk.
We avoid the laundry, where this stuff becomes household appliances.
Right, yeah, where we have the tactical iPhone with scribbling spells on it.
Wow, that just dripped with all the derision I was hoping it would.
That was awesome.
Before I ask my question, I had a thing happening with one of my players in my Deltagreen campaign that kind of answers what he's talking about. And this is a really terrible, horrible thing, but it's how you can take the modern things. We were talking about the seminar tonight, and we were talking about Ferguson. And he said, you know, this is a really bad thing, but the fact that they've got this immense military firepower in this small Missouri town is ripe for a Deltagreen.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, that's the sort of thing that it's well, I said, we can't do it now.
I think the point is the capacity to bring, you know, firepower and machinery and technology and communications to bear doesn't always make things better.
Wake up.
Doesn't always?
Yes.
But can. You know, there are some mythos creatures that, you know, okay, this gun didn't work on it, I'm getting a bigger one.
I mean, the Innsmouth raid is at least a middling success.
Yeah. Well, you know, someone drove a boat through Cthulhu. I mean, it just put him to sleep, basically.
Yeah. And even better, it gave us tons of ingredients for years and years of follow-up stories.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the best part about the raid on this
one. My question was, you were talking about, you know, putting forth the idea of degeneration and control, or even loss of control.
Yeah.
I use this a lot in my home campaign, and kind of building with what this gentleman said earlier. Have you guys ever looked at, and this is more of a publishing question, have you ever looked at publishing kind of some of the things that Cthulhu does, where they publish a lot of extraneous, like, forms and packets and pamphlets that a keeper could use to build
I love the props in the original Deltagreen.
I'd love to do some of that.
I always will have as many props as possible. There you go.
It's the kind of thing that would be really handy for a PDF product.
We know a couple of people who know a lot about making those things.
So. One or two.
Yeah.
I sign up for Google Voice numbers and automatic text that come through during our sessions.
Yeah, cool.
Unknown numbers or like things for text.
That sounds fun.
I've mailed things to their house before. I even had signature required on one, and the guy was like, what the heck?
That's great.
Yeah, it worked out great.
Well done.
Did it come with a dog's head?
We may know that guy.
No comment.
I don't know when, God, like 1992 or 93, I exchanged letters with John Tynes, one of the first
times. And he sent you a dog's head, didn't he?
No. No, but he sent me a little microcassette of recording.
Oh, yeah, the Mego voice.
Yeah, of like his adventure Convergence.
That was awesome.
The first Deltagreen adventure. Like, one of the clues in it is you hear this audio recording on a computer of this really, really weird, freaky voice, right? And so John actually recorded this and ran it through, at the time, state-of-the-art computer processors.
Audion,
right? And you know, and had it as a handout kind of thing.
That's
so
cool.
I heard about it and wrote to him, and he like recorded it and mailed it to me. You know, so and that was neat. Computer.
That's the kind
of
thing.
He mailed
that's the kind of thing you would just click on our website and download the file nowadays.
I transferred it.
You'll
and put it
you'll
online,
see on my website.
On
I love incorporating kind of thing, YouTube type stuff. I love. Like the Apollo 20 stuff, I jumped on that and was like, oh, this is just so cool. And it's a disinformation campaign. And it's got all, you know, and the new Phaeton guy walking on the moon thing.
Yeah, all of that stuff.
That was awesome.
Was it Matt McLaughlin that put together all those props that were in the first Deltagreen book?
Yeah. So using AV and using it kind of printouts McLaughlin's documents from the original Deltagreen book for like Operation Blackwater. Was it the Navy SEAL raid? It was the Forrest James report.
No, it wasn't. It was something similar. It was a submarine bumping into some deep.
Yeah,
ones,
that was,
it was
awesome. Like stuff like that is great. Yeah, we would love to.
I live in a historical town, it's Hot Springs, Arkansas, and
Oh, you guys had Owen the kill Owen Meany or Madden. Odie Madden. The yes.
Owen Meany is.
Sorry, Owen Madden is a great gangster. He's
so really John Irving midget.
He was very short. He was played by Bob Hoskins.
Okay.
I live 2 blocks from a federal courthouse, and I'm right by our bathhouse road, which is full of the old bathhouses. And one night, I actually changed the address.
Not that kind of bathhouse.
For the game. I don't judge. And we gained under the courthouse.
Yeah, lives in Arkansas. It's cool.
It was, you know, just doing stuff like that really adds.
That sounds fun, yeah.
But it's harder for us to package that.
If you can figure out a way we can get to the courthouse or the bathhouse here.
But you can get some good video surveillance photos and images of your players in suits getting arrested underneath. I'm sure we get those.
We may be able to do that once, maybe twice.
Speaking of McLaughlin, when he ran his LARPs at that one Necronomicon.
Oh, yeah, there are amazing stories.
Yeah, the cops did show up for that one because there were guys in suits running around with guns.
Yeah.
And so,
not the smartest thing.
Yeah,
it was fun,
but it had integrity.
And apparently, one of them was a World War II LARP, which apparently drove all of the drug addicts and drug dealers out of that park because, well, again, Nazis are still Nazis.
Even we don't truck with Nazis.
This is the part of the scenario when the cops will show up.
There goes the news.
This time, open the envelope that you've been given.
Anybody else?
Next questions? Any more questions?
You said you were, with the new thing, you're bringing it up closer to the modern day.
Yeah.
And is there, like, any kind of, like, hard numbers there, or is it just, like, 2010?
No, I think we're literally shooting for it. It's going to be at least 2013. But, you know, and if we can, I'll be honest, my intention is to push it.
I mean, if we can keep delaying, we may be back in Iraq. So
we won't have to rewrite that material.
That's right.
Yes!
We're
like three
Thanks, Obama.
Materials and fuck you, Obama. You... Damn it.
Hey,
this is what I thought I was out. As modern as possible.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the goal with any
thriller is you're doing it, headlines a week from today, right? Yeah. That's what you want.
The point of the game is not to zero in on a particular year as much as to make it a modern day game. Yeah. So you're going to be able to play it in the late.
We'll see how Ferguson changes America. Maybe
the nuclear warlord of Oklahoma will. Once that goes down,
the night commander of Oklahoma City.
Yes, no. Bernie Sanders and Ron and Rand Paul are sworn in as benevolent joint presidents of America, and we've entered a surveillance-free utopia. Then we'll have to change it. But I think until then, we're pretty safe.
We can
the writing is safe. Everyone else is doomed. But the writing will be fine.
The writing is fine.
Though, in the same vein, though, are there any current events within, I would say, like the last four to 5 years that have directly inspired what you're writing in here?
Well, there was me ripping off Tom's Divine Fire Libya. But now that's history.
He takes that as a point of pride.
So you know, Delta Green really...
It's not really current events as much as plagiarism.
We've tried very hard in Delta Green to avoid, like, the really obvious tells, like, Kennedy, the Migo shot Kennedy, and... They had a Tom Collins.
And they had the magic bullet. Yeah,
the magic literally bullet was really a magic bullet.
Like an issue with X-Men going like, Magneto tried to save Kennedy.
Yeah. So, you know, I can tell you straight up, 9-11.
Really?
9-11 was
9-11. Wow.
Stephen L. Zeiss had nothing to do with 9-11. 9-11 was just 9-11.
He went outside and took a big, deep breath of the cement dust. And went, but then he went back inside and had a drink.
We tried all
the fleshy.
The stuff that's truly scary goes on behind the scenes. It's a little too on the nose to kind of link it too directly to anything. Although, you know, obviously the rise of the surveillance state, the exposure of the surveillance state, let's put it that way.
Which, like going with Pisces, that's something I was interested in with their rise of their CCTV network and just being completely for safety.
Again, I mean, they've been the most monitored city since the 80s. It just gets more and more monitored to stay ahead of the curve.
all of those issues inform
the setting and inform the sort of the growth of the way that the factions and the setting develop and the way that Delta Green as an organization in which your players play has developed and operates. So so it's not, you know, we're not really setting out to make any particular background event like, you know,
the key.
Yeah. As much as the
everything changed.
Yeah, the fact that we spent this many years, you know, in deeply engaged in the global war on terror, and had, you know, and had so much of our economy funneled into that and transformed by that, you know, that's not caused by Forrest James running, you know, taking over a part of Majestic and fucking it all up, but it certainly sort of reflects it in different ways.
And no more than in Lovecraft did, you know, the Deep Ones kill President Harding or anything.
Yeah.
I mean, Lovecraft's stories also assume that the actually important things are happening below the news or behind the news or outside of human understanding.
Below the waters, for
that don't have anything to do with stories. And although they thematically reflect the times in which they're written, that is the same way that our stuff thematically reflects the times in which they're happening.
Right.
We're maybe a little more politically engaged because our characters are politically engaged, but because they're members of the frickin' bureaucracy.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily the same as saying that, you know, Delta Green's budget goes up or down depending on whether, you know, I don't know, Ted Cruz or Chris Christie becomes the Republican nominee. That's not going to really affect it one way or the other.
My
opponent is provably soft on monsterism. Nicholas
activity. Anybody else?
Howling around with deep ones.
Yeah. Howling around with deep ones. Any other hands? Any other questions? Because you don't have any questions, we got nothing else to tell you. This man, right here, again.
How detailed are you going to get when you fill in the gap between the last, like, 20 years of detail? Like, are you going to be like, and March Technologies had a really bad fiscal year?
Well, they're going to be around. You're going to meet them again.
Right. No, March Technologies is doing great.
Yeah, they saved the world.
I love that. Bonds are...
They saved the world. And what was the year?
And made a lot of money for their
investment. Is it 2011 or 2012? It's 2012. They saved the world. They're just going to have to do that every fiscal quarter now.
Yeah. As long as growth is maintained at 16% and you save the world, we will not have to step in and replace the board of directors. You know, it won't be a spreadsheet.
Okay.
Yeah.
It will be exactly like Delta Green in its explanations of, say, Majestic, which is a high-level overview of where it came from, followed by where it is now, and then a bunch of NPCs that detail kind of what they're up to and why they're doing it.
I mean, the goal is not to provide 20 years of continuity.
Right.
The goal is to create Delta Green, and then if the history that happened between 99 and now becomes relevant, it'll get mentioned.
Right.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, then it won't. I mean, it's not... No one wants the... You know, well, maybe they do, but
no, they don't.
No one at this table wants the story is not what happened during the Bush administration. Right. The story is what's happening now,
right,
whenever now is for your campaign.
Right, and you know, like in Scott's Majestic sections, you know, that lays it out very clearly. It covers the 1940s through the 1980s to 94, 95, like in 10 or 15 pages, and then there's a ton of
I mean, 10 or 15 pages of useless backstory.
No, it was really good stuff.
Well, and I will say that
it can be good and be useless. This is
it was not useless. I used a ton of that stuff.
Okay, you're a good man.
Yeah, he's attached to the IP. Ken isn't.
Ken's like, kill him all.
Whatever we can do. In my defense, I will say, as I'm rewriting the new Majestic material that's going to become, you know, it's going to become the program. Huge amounts of that have been sacrificed to just move forward and get to what's going on now. We want to give you that the hints and enough material there to provide the illusion of continuity, but we're not going to be able to map out everything. We're not going to box you in. If your keepers want to, you know, or your case officers want to, you know, provide different story ideas based, you know, stories that begin in that period and then extend into now, and you know, we're not going to box you in with too many details on that. there'll be enough so that you're going to feel comfortable using the material and not feel like the reel ended in 1999 and then suddenly the next reel is 2011 and what the fuck happened in between, you know. That's not going to be what you're faced with.
You'll That's the goal anyway.
Yeah.
Is to have it be enough support that you feel inspired by it and you're like, okay, yes, I can hit this plot running because I know what's going on and I can have the factors in play respond to the actions of my character because I know how they've done things in the past and how they behave. We want you to have that kind of support without it being a straitjacket.
Yeah.
Without you having, wait, no, I have to go look back and look up a note.
Or worse, reading 10 years of stories that your characters are not involved in.
Yeah, right.
That's I mean, that's just not fun. We'll write some fiction.
Yeah.
We'll be happy to write some fiction.
But that will
fiction
be separate.
Collections that will cover that. But it doesn't need to be in the game source material. But then we can sell it to you twice.
So, springboarding off of continuity, do you have plans to create any new antagonistic organizations that are going to better fit with your new theme?
Yeah. Yup.
Yup.
Yup. You know, that's a good idea.
somebody write that down.
Wait, where's my pen?
Exactly. Well, luckily we have a recording. Let's just start spitballing. Katana Toa, right? Okay. It's like,
stop saying Katana Toa. Stop making everything about Katana Toa.
It's not going to happen. Katana Toa is
it's never going to happen.
Spoils for it. But yeah, certainly there's a number of them. Do we want to give any spoilers?
Yes.
I already said it. Wow, yes. Okay. Do we want to give any spoilers?
I don't know. Give them one spoiler.
Oh. All right. Well,
wait till Greg finishes his telephone conversation.
I'll go outside.
Right. He'll limp out.
You know what a lot of people do is turn their phone off during a panel.
A lot of people do a lot of things.
I already spoiled this on the Miskatonic University podcast. They asked me about, you know, stuff for the, how you come up with ideas. And one of the ones I've pitched, and it will either, if it doesn't end up in the main, reiteration of Delta Green, it's going to be very quickly followed and maybe in an Oath article or something. But a good fallout from the global war on terror is sort of a reworked Nodens cult. Nodens has always been the ugly stepchild of the mythos. No one's quite sure what to do with Nodens.
He's
is
beautiful.
It a good guy?
The
is
too pretty stepchild.
Yeah, yeah. Is this going to be, is this the Deus Ex Machina that saved the characters because they say Nodens or something, you know?
Let's hope not.
Yeah, let's hope not. Well, the answer is no.
That's how it worked in my high school campus.
Yeah. Wow. Ouch. And he's not even denying. Absolutely. That was the way
that
worked.
Great.
Ow.
Yeah, we were playing through, Shadows of Yog-Sothoth, I think, and one of the players got contact Nodens and summoned Night Gaunt, and so, yeah.
Boom. Take that, cultists. Right. who needs a drone strike? But
I was in high school, I'll reiterate.
But one of the ideas I sort of stumbled upon was, what's his name, from Lone Survivor? What's the name of the SEAL from Lone Survivor?
I don't remember.
Mark Wahlberg.
I ran across a news story where it was a story about his service animal got gunned down in Texas. It was after he was back from Afghanistan. And some guys drove up to his farm and shot his dog and drove off because it was funny. And, you know, again, they picked the wrong guy's dog to shoot. He chased these guys down and called into the cops, and they tried to get away, and they were 19 and 18 years old and drove like shit and crashed their car. And, you know, he stood around, you know, holding them at gunpoint until the police arrived. Turns out these idiots have been, you know, their guns have been used to murder dogs in 5 different counties. That's what they did for entertainment. And for some reason, when I read that story about this guy's, this ex-SEAL, this injured, crippled, medical dot SEAL, his dog getting killed, I remembered about, you know, all the service animals that have been handed out to injured veterans. And I also remembered that Nodens, the Temple of Nodens that Lovecraft refers to in some of the stories in England, was supposedly partially funded by donations by Roman legionaries. There's inscriptions in the temple. It's actually a temple to Mars Nodens, where the Romans married Mars to the local Celtic deity Nodens.
to cover this sort of aspect of wounded veterans, because Nodens is a crippled deity. It's missing an arm. That's why it's not the head of the Celtic pantheon when it was called Nuada, I think it is. So, for some reason, that clicked with me, and I thought, you know, Nodens as a deity that recruits crippled veterans to do its work. And we're generating a shitload
of sort of content. Accretes to itself. Yeah.
The creation of crippled Noden, crippled veterans creates the conditions under which Nodens can form.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like also, Nodens is accompanied by gods. Or by dogs, rather.
Dogs, yes. Gods,
and by gods.
The temple in England, where one of the things that they had was a kennel, because there was a folklore that if dogs lick wounds, they'll heal quicker. And so the dogs were associated with the healing aspects of the god Mars Nodens. And that's where I sort of formed this idea up. And as far as, you know, a new antagonist or a new group of problems that's related to the current world we live in, where we're up to our asses in people who have come back missing any number of bits, and it's not old men from Southeast Asia, from the Vietnam War. It's, you know, folks who are in their 20s and 30s. That's a huge recruiting ground for that particular problem. And I guess, you know, I suppose that it is that would be an example of something that's connected to the world as we find it.
Whatever you put that in, I'll buy it.
And also, if you keep in mind that in Machen's story, the great god Pan, the father of the Helena Vaughn in Great God Pan is Nodens. Hmm. So he's not the good Nodens. Even in Lovecraft, in Strange High House in the Mist, the result of contacting Nodens is that your soul is blanked out and your eyes look different and you lose all of your old interests. That's like a win for Thomas Olney in Lovecraft because he is not actually devoured by whatever is up there on the top of the crag.
It's the hard
Nodens says, "You have found favor in my sight. I will transform you to suit my personal needs and send you down utterly changed." And everyone in Kingsport is subtly worried that that will begin to spread like a plague, and then whatever has been keeping Kingsport attached to our world will stop working. And that's Nodens. That's the happy good guy. Right. Yay!
We're pretty sure he's not happy with Nyarlathotep.
We're back to the total party kill, just a different type of it. Yeah.
And it really struck me that, you know, not only would Nodens find great...
In the same way that, say, Stalin wasn't happy with Hitler. Stalin also associated with wounded veterans and dogs.
that would be one example of something that... And I will not give away Ken's big bad because it's too cool to reveal. Take that, people. Unless you want to reveal it. I don't think
it's up to Shane. I'm not in charge.
No, I wouldn't say
anything. I said give him one spoiler.
Oh.
That's one spoiler. All right, so that would be our one spoiler.
It's Nodens.
Make me patient.
Come back to the panel next year.
Yeah. Where you can read it in the goddamn book. Yeah.
We'll hold you to that.
Okay. Yeah, you hold him to that. Get him!
You show me.
That's a question. The question has come up, when will be launching the Kickstarter
pretty soon.
Once you've fulfilled all the other ones.
Well, yeah. So I mean, we recently did a few months ago. I mean, we did a Kickstarter for Dennis's fiction collection, and as part of that, we generated funding for a new anthology by a lot of different writers. So, most of my time has gone into since then has gone into finalizing the RPG rules development that, you know, Dennis and I have mainly been batting back and forth and hacking at like maniacs. So that seems to be, after playtesting and you know, feedback and everything, that seems to be pretty well under control, which means I'm going to be putting more of my time in getting the fiction together so that we can start, you know, filling that goal from the previous Delta Green Kickstarter. You know, I think we're going to be ready to launch a Kickstarter for the Delta Green role-playing game basically as soon as I manage that, you know. I mean, there's still a lot left, you know, to be written.
Are we shooting for fall?
But the hard... Probably fall, yeah, this fall. I mean, the big hurdle that I've been sort of postponing for is we're sort of over, you know, because the groundwork... that we needed to do before I wanted to launch something and commit to something is done, and so the scaffolding is going to be a lot easier to put together when we don't have to worry about having to tear it all down if something underlying gets changed. So it's going to be pretty soon. I mean, I don't have an exact date because, again, I need to go in and start, you know. And
if the audience can start chanting
stories.
A date at random, he'll be forced to agree to it.
Yeah, and but yeah, so it's
sooner than that.
We're looking forward to it. I mean, I want to do it as soon as we can, you know, because now that we're actually getting it under control, I want to move this damn thing.
Son of a bitch thing. Don't worry, we will extract this piece of shrapnel. Hank, I'm glad you went with kidney stone over shrapnel. It's more humiliating. You know?
Kidney stone? You failed. It is horrifying.
Any other questions? Anything else anyone wants to know?
Well, thank you for coming out, everyone.
Thanks so much. Sorry about being late. It's entirely Shane's fault.
Yeah,
he had to pick a restaurant far, far away. Do we still have any of those coupons that they gave us in the street?
Oh my god!
Should we be handing those out here?
You had.
We were stopped in the street. That guy gave us a coupon, $20 for a tattoo of a 20-sided die. Let's see. Oh, here we go. August 15th to 17th, $20 for a 20-sided die tattoo at Irish Ink, 876 Massachusetts Avenue. You can pay more if you don't want the Hep C. For this basic, they will
put it'll upgrade you to Hep A.
So check this out. There you go. There's your coupon, $20.
All right. And you thought you'd come away with nothing valuable.
How's that?
Some people leave an apple on the desk.
I think it's more of a flyer than a coupon.
Well, okay.
Don't destroy me.
Maybe next time.
and not so long ago, you were accusing Dennis of sucking the fun out of him.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, everyone.